Just thinking about the ways that people evaluate someone that they're just meeting, or I mean, they do it for people that they know and see, but the way you kind of, what you take in about them physically. Because something I've realized that I don't think I really knew is that a lot of people look at your feet, they look at your shoes, they notice the shoes. I've realized that I think way less about shoes. I notice shoes way less than many people do. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised, you know, given how much shoe talk there is, you know, like women, shoes are a big thing. Oh, these shoes, you need a lot of shoes. But then also this whole like sneakerhead thing. You know, all the men who are sneakerheads. He's a sneakerhead. Oh, are you one of those sneakerheads? But the sneakerhead thing is huge. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that people look at shoes and have strong opinions about shoes. But I guess I didn't... I thought that that shoes were a big deal. You know, I knew that shoes were a big deal. And I knew that, you know, even with sneakerheads and women who have shoe collections and that kind of thing, like, it's not that I didn't think people cared about shoes or looked at shoes. I just didn't realize it was something that people look at right away. Because I'm a head and shoulders kind of guy. You know, when I meet somebody new, or if it's somebody, you know, I work with or a customer or anything, the main thing I notice is just kind of their general look. You know, I evaluate people just unconsciously and consciously, but I evaluate people when I see them. I might kind of take in, you know, for me, like I'm a face person. I'm a head and shoulders person, where I'm going to form an opinion about somebody primarily based on their head and shoulders. And I've talked about before, like physiognomy, you know, just the physiognomy of someone's face. I have a reaction to that. You know, it's not based on attraction. It's not based on attractiveness or ugliness or anything like that. There's ugly faces that I like that instinctively I'm like, I'm going to give this person a chance. There's attractive faces that I'm like, oh, I don't like them. And it is just that simple. There's some faces that for me to like that person or to give that person a chance, I have to overcome something. I react very significantly to physiognomy, the physiognomy of someone's face. And then to some degree, the rest of their head. Like haircuts. Like, I don't have strong opinions about haircuts. But I guess, you know, it bleeds into this other thing. Because, like, the physiognomy thing, that is just primal. There's some people, because of their face, I just think I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to deal with them. I'm going to have a hard time with that person. I react to voices sometimes that way too, but I'd say I'm more sensitive to faces than I am voices. But then, like, I don't know, hair and shoes and you know, these other things that we evaluate people on are choices. The thing that I evaluate people on are not choices, which is funny. You know, because a lot of people, like, when they judge another person, positive or negative, when they judge another person, they judge them mainly on the choices that person has made of how they present themselves. I mean, I think everyone does react on that primal level too, but for me, it's only that. That's not true. No, that's not true. I don't just react to physiognomy. I react to choices too. I guess I react to them in a different way. Because the way a lot of people look at someone, and they're like, oh, look at those shoes. Why would you wear those shoes? You see his shoes? And I noticed that because it happened last year where I got a new pair of shoes. Actually, I had them for a while. I didn't get a new pair of shoes. I had these shoes. I'd just never worn them. And they were just simple Vans. Not even skater shoes or anything. Just simple Vans. just a plain gray. I mean, they practically looked like Keds. Just plain gray with, you know, white rubber at the bottom. A very simple shoe. You're not going to see a shoe that's more simple than this. And so I started wearing those to work, and the number of people I work with who commented on them, like, "Oh, you got new shoes. Nice shoes. Those are good shoes." And I was kind of weirded out by it because these shoes didn't deserve comment. They were Vans. They were gray. They were truly the simplest shoe. And it made me question whether people were actually complimenting my shoes or not. Like, these people are like, "Oh, that's nice shoes, dude." But I couldn't believe how many people commented on them. All kinds of different people. And I was just like, man, like, they really noticed my feet. I wouldn't be able to tell you if anybody I work with is wearing new shoes. If there's something particularly unique about a shoe and I happen to look down and notice it, but I don't even do that. I don't even really look down. Their shoes would have to be a bright color. There'd have to be something really obvious that jumps out and grabs my attention for me to really look at their shoes. And what got me thinking about this whole topic from the beginning is just Crocs. She's wearing Crocs. Because there's this girl who works for me who wears Crocs. And I'm aware of what they are. And I'm aware that there's a stigma attached to them. But this girl wears Crocs, and like, honestly, they're black, so it's like barely noticeable. Just a very plain black thing to have on your feet. I would never notice that. But my boss at one point was like, "Hey, tell her she can't wear Crocs." And I was like, "Okay. My boss tells me Crocs aren't okay. I'll just convey that." But me personally, I didn't care. To me, they look like anything else. They're dark, like a charcoal, almost black color. It's not like these are bright red or pink or something. They're a black, pretty much a black Croc. They call a black Croc. And I kept having to tell her, like, "Don't wear those." But it sucked because I didn't agree. I didn't agree on that. But my boss told me, you know, it's now my responsibility. And that boss is no longer here, and nobody else has really cared. So she just started wearing her Crocs. And honestly, I don't give a shit. A couple times I told her, "Oh, you're wearing the Crocs again. Can't do that." But she could probably detect the emptiness behind that, because in reality, I don't care. And it got me thinking about just why Crocs have this stigma attached to them at all. Like, where did that opinion form? Because it's not like people are like, "Oh, this is a tacky, cheap shoe." They have this passion behind it. I've heard many people over the years. This isn't the first time I've met Croc-averse people. This is something I've heard for years. I've known people who go, "Better than Crocs. Oh man, I hate Crocs." And I just wondered, where did that opinion form? Where did that idea come from? That Crocs were such a horrible, no good shoe. I don't have any particular like for them, love for them. I've never worn them. I just have a completely neutral, indifferent opinion on Crocs. I know they're a popular shoe. I know they're alleged to be the most comfortable shoe. And the only reason I've ever heard that they're so comfortable is because people who wear them are just defensive. And rightfully so, because people give them shit all the time for wearing them. Because people give so much shit to people for wearing Crocs, like, everyone who wears Crocs has this built-in justification where they're like, "They're just really comfortable, okay?" Like, that happened at work, where like the girl was told she couldn't wear Crocs. There's like another coworker who gives her shit, which is what I'm talking about. He gives her shit about wearing Crocs. And I was just doing that because I was told by my boss. It wasn't because I care. It was because it now became my responsibility to tell her not to wear them. It wasn't that I actually owned that. But you could fall into that trap. Like, because I had to convey that to her, I had to act like I don't like Crocs either as part of my job. Because of that, I easily could have become one of those people. I have to say this, so I better believe it. I hate Crocs. But it's got me thinking. I've heard so many negative things about them over the years. Going back to when they first came around. And the people who wear them, just they're always having to go around explaining themselves. They're the most comfortable shoe. No way. Yeah. You know, like they feel compelled to explain themselves because they get attacked over it. They get judged. And I guess I just don't know why. I don't know if they're actually cheap either. I imagine they are, but I don't know how much they cost. I don't know anything. I know they make special ones. But I guess I just wonder, like, where did that, for lack of a better word, cultural meme come from? Because that's what it is. It's kind of a cultural meme, like this idea that, oh, I hate Crocs. You know, shoes, I hate Crocs. Because that's not a legitimate opinion most people are just going to have on their own. So that came from somewhere. And I was asking somebody about that yesterday, and they said it was in the movie Idiocracy. I saw that movie once. I love Mike Judge. I don't remember much about the movie. I watched it in bits and pieces with somebody. I think I was drunk, so I don't remember much from it. But this person mentioned that, they make fun of Crocs. You know, Crocs are like what the stupid people in Idiocracy wear. But I'm like, did it really come from that? Like, is that? I'd have to look that up and see if that's true, first of all. But even if it was, did that really create the idea? I mean, to be fair, you know, a lot of the people I've known and heard who do the whole "I hate Crocs," Crocs are gay. I wish that's what they said. Instead, they're just like, "I hate Crocs." It wouldn't surprise me if those people, like when I think about that type of person, it wouldn't surprise me if they got it from Idiocracy. It wouldn't surprise me. It also comes across kind of like a Reddit thing. And when we spell Reddit here, we use a lowercase r. Doesn't deserve a capital, no, but it does come across like one of those Reddit things. Because those people are vicious. You know, what's really particularly sickening about Reddit people, that brand of person who exists now, is that, like, they're very childlike. They're very, you know, they're a product of, you know, the nerd industry. They're not nerds. They're a product of what I've talked about, which is, you know, this, you know, commodification of nerdiness. Nerdy being the new normal. You know, because when you think about the way people talk now, the way the average, you know, under 50 American talks, they talk like a nerd. But it's this very mainstream, you know, being nerdy just became the new normal, the new mainstream. And Reddit is very much that. And it's like this kind of like pseudo-bubbly, like a lot of exclamation marks. Like I've said before, I mainly use exclamation marks when I'm talking to women. There's something inherently effeminate about it. And if you're a man who uses exclamation marks with women you're not interested in. I know I've talked about this. If I'm interested in a woman, I don't use a lot of exclamation marks. Only if it's really deserved. But if I'm not interested in a woman and she's like a friend, a coworker, just anybody, somebody I have to contact, you know, for any reason, I tend to use more exclamation marks. And women do it too. Women use a lot more exclamation marks than men. And it's kind of matching their energy. Like, the reason I do it is it kind of matches their energy. Like, if I were to text a woman and say, like, say she did something and I'm thanking her, I'd be like, thank you. I appreciate that. With exclamation mark. Whereas if it was a man, I would use a period. Thank you. I appreciate that. But every once in a while, it's good to use one. Like, every once in a while, I'll use an exclamation mark while talking to another guy when it's really deserved. But it tends to be a more feminine trait, but it's not used just by women. Like, the sort of Reddit person I'm talking about, the male brand, the male species of that, you know, they're going to use a lot of exclamation marks. A lot of exclamation marks. They're going to use a lot of them. It's like, hey, nerd here. As a nerd, I think this is awesome. Very, this kind of like fake bubbliness. But those people are truthfully the most hideous, hissing phantoms you'll ever meet. You know, they just hiss. Those people hiss. Why am I talking about them? Oh, those are the sort of people, though, that they'll be like, hi, scientist, science fan here. And then, but then secretly they'll just hiss. I hate Crocs. Crocs are for dumb people. That's the sort of person I imagine. And I mean, I've heard people I like, people who are cool, talk shit about Crocs, but it just makes me think of that sort of thing. I'm trying to figure out like where that actually became some sort of quote unquote cultural meme to hate Crocs and make a big deal out of it and make fun of people for wearing them. Maybe Idiocracy. Maybe that's true. But what propelled it? Like, what kept that going? Why is it such a big deal? And why do people notice it? And, you know, in my line of work, maybe there's customers who see this girl wearing Crocs and, like, gives them a negative impression, too, and we lose sales because of it. I don't know. I mean, that's probably why my boss, aside from him hating Crocs, that was probably part of his rationale when he told me to tell her she can't wear them. But I'd be curious how many of them even notice it. We're not a fancy store. I'm curious who notices that. But I don't know who notices it, because I was in for a shock when I learned how closely people pay attention to feet. And maybe it's an association thing, because I was going to get into this a minute ago, where the things I judge people for, their choices about how to present themselves, self-expression, what I judge them for tends to be not the thing itself. Like, when I see a certain haircut, I don't think, God, look at the hair. Oh, my God. Look at that. You know, it's not about the haircut itself in most cases. Like, yeah, there are some really bad haircuts, some really stupid haircuts. But most of it's like what I associate it with. You know, funny enough, you don't really see guys with this at all now. This is a trend that really disappeared quickly, quicker than I actually thought it would. You know, that haircut that was popular it probably started to get popular about a decade ago, and then it really took off in the mid-2010s. Where guys, like, they buzz this, like, these are white males, not just white males, pretty much everybody except black people. But they buzz the sides of their head, but left the top grown out, and wore it in, like, some form of, like, pompadour or slicked it back. It was this haircut that took off like wildfire. it started, you know, and it's sort of, sometimes it could be like this Hitler Youth haircut. But the key component was that, like, the sides are buzzed and, like, fade up. And then there's quite a bit left on top that's styled in some way. So it could either, it was similar to, like, the Hitler Youth haircut, but it tended to be a little more grown out than that. And guys would put it up in a pompadour or slick it back or something. And I hated it immediately. But it was more what I associated it with. The haircut itself really didn't bother me that much as far as haircuts go. It was, I immediately associated it with something. You know, it was this very slick sort of indie haircut. It's what people would have called hipster some years ago, although nobody really throws that word out anymore. So I immediately associated with that. Some people look like any haircut. You know, it's like a certain person or a certain number of people looked good with it. And so everybody's like, maybe I should try that haircut. Which is a whole other thing. Like the idea of like being a grown man and trying out different haircuts is just hilarious to me. Like I'm balding, you know, I'm gonna lose my hair. I'm already losing a lot of it. But I haven't gotten a different type of haircut before I was an adult. Like I've gotten, you know, I'll get a haircut and then just let it grow out. So it sort of becomes a different haircut. But in terms of like going to the barber, going to the hairstylist and saying like, I want this. Or the hairdresser suggesting it. You know what, I think you'd look good with this. Yeah. Being a man going and doing that is just very foreign to me. I think by a certain age, you just kind of know your haircut. Like as a kid, yeah, you're going to go through all these different phases. Your parents might decide, which is really funny. Like your parents might decide what your hairstyle is going to be. We think you should have this. We want our child's hair to look like this. You know, so you're going to, you know, at a young age, it's like your family is going to dictate it. But then you go through a phase where you yourself are like, I want the haircut. And so, of course, you're going to try out different haircuts when you're growing up. But by the time you're a man, I don't know if you're really a man, if you're still going out and getting the different haircut. And the idea, you know, it's peacocking. It's you know, I want to look attainable. Not attainable. I want to look desirable. How do I look more desirable? Oh, how do I look cool? You know, so much just boils down to that. So many, way more. I mean, this is one of my biggest theories, is just that ultimately everything someone does in life, minus maybe a few essential things, is just whether or not they think it'll make them cool or not. Everyone's political opinions, everything that anybody likes, the majority of it, for most people, is just, will this make me cool? And hair is, of course, the biggest one. Will this make me cool? But the idea of being like a grown man, being like, I want to try this out. It's wild. You know, it's always fun to see like an old man and you're like, yeah, he's had that haircut since he was probably 18 or younger. I can tell. And it's embarrassing too. In decades past, like when you see photos of old men from the 1970s and they've grown their hair out into like this parted like swoop haircut with big sideburns and a like a plaid leisure suit, you're just like, man, why'd you do that? Why'd you have to do that? Didn't you have it figured out? You know, because I can say the same for pretty much my clothes. Like, you know, it probably changed in small ways here or there. But I would say since I was 21 or 20, let's go with 21. But that's in part because, you know, I lost a lot of weight around that age. And so I was able to wear clothes I actually wanted to wear. But I would say since I was 21, I've pretty much worn the same style. Like maybe some little things here and there. Like I didn't used to tuck my shirt in, and you know, in recent years I only tuck my shirt in. I always tuck my shirt in. But some of that's just kind of like, you know, a response to changes to your body. Just like losing weight when I was 20, 21, you know, led to me wearing, you know, a slightly different style of clothes just because I now have a different body. I think if you have a different body, you have the right... Batty, come on. I think when you have a different body, you're going to make some changes. I'd say that, you know, starting to lift weights, get more athletic, that led to me tucking my shirt in. Didn't really look right before. Now it looks right. Now it looks weird to just let it all hang out. To have this gown over my torso. Just makes more sense, you know, becoming more athletic, working out, just tuck your shirt in. But, you know, some people, it's like they get makeovers. It's like, I'm gonna change my style of dress to fit the times. I saw somebody who looked really cool like this. And yeah, there are people, every time there's a new fashion trend, a new haircut, there are a certain number of people who do it and they look really fucking cool. But that makes a bunch of other people go like, I want to look like that. I want to look like that. And I remember seeing that happen with that haircut I was just talking about. Side shaved, top grown out, styled in some way. You know, I noticed, it started to crop up in kind of niche circles. And it was striking. Like, it was kind of on one hand, kind of a classic haircut, you know, because it's not that far. It's like a high and tight, but you leave more on the top. So, you know, it's got kind of a classic thing, but it was also distinctly indie or something. It was artistic. And you start to see it just take off. You know, it propagated first, you know, in these sort of independent alternative circles. And then it was just every guy's getting it. And it had different variants. Because there were like lesbians and trans, you know, whatever, like the female to men. They got into that haircut. You had these kind of like scrawny, little, frail, nerdy guys with that haircut. But then you also had these kind of big bro types. Because the beard got popular again around that time. And so you started to have guys with that haircut, but with a big beard. I'm going to get the cool new haircut, and oh, beards are in. Grow my beard out. You know, so you started to see that combo. And you saw that with all kinds of different guys. Like, you know, even some, like, right-wing manosphere sort of guys, they got into that look. But also, you know, these frail, like, lib sort of guys got into it, and it just... everywhere. It just proliferated. And there's a kid I grew up with who I always knew him to hop on a trend right as it was dying out. It's something I noticed about him, you know, growing up, is I was like, oh, he always hops on the trend right as the trend's about to die out. He's always the last guy. Like, he waits until it's as safe as possible to do the thing other people are doing. And he's kind of a harbinger, because from then on, it just dies out. And sure enough, he gets rid of it. And I noticed on Facebook that he had gotten that haircut. And I remember having the thought, I was like, oh, if he got it, that haircut's on its way out. And sure enough, it was. It's just, you know, but yeah, the idea of like, I'm going to get the new haircut. But judging people, like when I would see guys with that haircut, it wasn't that I really thought it was that bad of a haircut for some people. It was more just, oh, I don't like the sort of people that's associated with. Because the whole spectrum of person who got that haircut, I didn't like. Didn't matter who they were or what. It was just a sort of person I didn't like. And I do that with other fashion choices. At the very least, it might not even be, you know, it's not even so much like I don't like them. It's more just I don't really want anything to do with them. I'm very close-minded when it comes to that person. I'm very closed off. I don't trust that person. With women, I feel completely different. I think it's just a part of women, and it's kind of fun that women like to try out all these different fashion statements and haircuts up to a point. With men, though, I wouldn't even say I think less of them. I just don't want anything to do with them. They make too many changes as adult men. They change their clothes, change their hair. But yeah, there's other things too. I'd have to sit here and actually go through the list. But there are certain fashion statements that I'm just like, no. It's not even the fashion statement itself. It's what I associate it with. Like if I see a, you know, yeah, I talked about this before where it's like being able to recognize if someone's a lib or not. Like there's certain people and like from what they're wearing or how they wear it, you know, you can just be like, oh, that person's going to be an obnoxious lib. You know, and not to both sides it, but it's also something like I'll see people too who, like I saw a guy in like a not vaccinated shirt. And while I'm totally fine with people who didn't get the vaccine, I talked about that a lot during years past, but like I'm totally cool with choosing not to get the vaccine. But, you know, wearing a shirt that says not vaxxed, I'm not going to have a good conversation with you. You know, I see it too with like if someone's wearing like, I don't know, there's certain sort of mainstream pseudo redneck Republican get-ups, and I see it and I'm like, you know, I'd probably rather be around that person than other people at this point, but I also know I'm not really gonna enjoy being around you. I can just kind of tell. Like an example is these shirts I'll see at work. Like these guys, these dads will come in, these middle-aged dads, and they're in a shirt that has a font, you know, it uses like the same font as like the Constitution or something, and talks about liberty and all this stuff. Like I'm not gonna want it, and that's a little different because that's messaging, like that's explicit messaging. But there is a style to it too that even if there is no explicit message, I don't even know what to call it, but it's just like t-shirts with designs that are like, you know, mimicking like the U.S. Constitution. That's the best I can come up with. You know, I'm not going to really want much to do with that person. But often it is the libs that I react to where, you know, I can just tell. You know, it's what a lot of people reacted to with like the colored hair. Although that's not so much me at this point, but like, at a certain point, yeah, like if you saw like a woman with her hair dyed bright blue, you're going to be like, oh, I know exactly what she thinks about everything. I know that's a person that I don't want much to do with. For me, it's more subtle than just the blue hairs. You know, I can tell from someone's general get up, from their demeanor. With me, a lot of it is demeanor and face. Like I said on here before, like I can tell if someone's a lib just from their face. I can tell just from their face. Voice is getting a little harder. I would say normally, yeah, like if they have that sort of Reddit drawl, and it's not really a drawl, but I'll call it one. But if they have that sort of Reddit voice, I'm going to know right away what they think about a lot of things. I've noticed, though, that there are a lot of young men, like, sometimes I'll listen to these shows or I'll listen to people talk who are, you know, kind of part of the, you know, the new, what do you even call it, like this sort of new right wing that's developed of, like, witty, funny guys, but the sort of, like, witty, heavily online, new right wing young guys, very wordy with me there, didn't sound very good. But I've noticed a lot of them have that voice too. They have that sort of frail, nerdy Reddit voice. And I think it's just a lot of young people in general. They don't talk from their chest at all. It's very nasally. And so it's becoming harder to tell based on voice, but I can still do it with faces pretty well. I can tell what a lot of your political beliefs are going to be just from the physiognomy of your face. So association is what I'm talking about, though, where it's, you know, you see certain articles of clothing, you see certain hairstyles, and you associate it with something that you don't like, even just a type of person you don't like. And so I do that. I'll readily admit that I do that. But very rarely do I have an opinion on people's fashion itself. Like with the Crocs thing, I don't know that what people are reacting to with Crocs is a type of person. Maybe there is a type of person and I'm unaware of it. Like maybe there is like a Croc girl and it's a girl thing. Like Crocs are a woman shoe. So I don't know if there's a type of woman, like a stereotype that is associated with Crocs. I'm not aware of it because the people I've known to wear Crocs are just women. That's the only common denominator between them is that they're women. You know, I've known like middle-aged women, like moms. I've known younger people. I've never come across like one single type of person who wears them. But admittedly, I'm not exposed to that many people. So maybe out there is a type of woman. But I don't feel like that's what people are getting at when they hate on Crocs. Hate on Crocs. I don't think that's so much what they're getting at. I think that this idea has become, I don't know, like at some point somebody decided that they hate Crocs a lot. Probably somebody famous, maybe it was from Idiocracy. And then people were like, yeah, that gives me something to hate too. And most of it's good natured for the most part, but it's just so common. And I think they are reacting to just the shoe itself. I don't think it is like my judgments where I'm like, oh, well, that haircut reminds me of this type of person, and I don't want anything to do with that type of person. I don't know that Crocs have that association. It does feel like it's much more a reaction to the shoe itself. They notice the shoe, and then they react to the shoe. But I don't know. I'm not into like sneakerheads. You know that whole idea. I don't know, I'll notice that on occasion because some of the sneakers they wear are brightly colored. They're distracting. You know, you'll notice like when a guy wears a pair of expensive Nikes that have, you know, bright green on them. Like you'll notice that. And I guess at most though, I just kind of think like, oh, that's one of those guys who love, that's a sneakerhead. That guy must be a sneakerhead. He's willing to spend a lot of money for a weird green shoe. And that's a, you know, sneakerheads are a good example, though, of like people can be convinced of anything. Because you'll hear guys talk and it's like, oh, dude, that's a fucking sick shoe. Dude, the shoe's fucking rule. You know, like Nike will produce something that's just aesthetically garbage. But you'll have a group of guys huddled around, like looking at pictures of it, like, oh my God, those are fucking tight. I'm trying to think of the words. Oh, those slap. Whatever people say now. And I'm just like, yeah, you can be convinced of anything. You know, and with that, it's a status symbol. Status symbols are wild, so that's another topic, but status symbols are really wild. You know, that when a guy wears like a $500 pair of sneakers, a rare pair of sneakers, one of the things he wants to communicate in many cases is this makes me important. This doesn't just make me cool. This shows that I have something. I have money. And now I have these. You know, it's like the idea of wearing a certain watch or something. Somebody was showing me pictures This guy who started working for me used to be a pop singer, and he was showing me pictures of himself with these. One of the guys is well known, like a businessman who was convicted of fraud, but he was friends with him, and he's like, "See the watch he's wearing? Like that's like a $280,000 Rolex." And I'm just thinking, my reaction isn't even like negative. It's just, why would you wear that? Why would you buy that? Why would you wear it? You know, you truly just want people to think. And I mean, this is a really basic thing I'm saying here. This isn't sophisticated, but still, like, that is how I react to it. I'm just like, why would you want that? Why would you wear that? Why would you want something that's worth that much money on your body? And I guess you could say that about all jewels. But at least with jewels, at least with diamonds or something, with these rocks, there is something ancient about it. Like this thing that comes out of the earth that's rare and precious. But with a watch, I feel a little differently. But it's a status symbol. It's like you're communicating to other people that you're important, you're cool, and you have a lot of wealth. You have a lot of resources. Same thing with the sneakerhead, you know, to a slightly lesser extent. You know, wearing a pair of expensive sneakers is different than, you know, a $280,000 Rolex, but it's still communicating something similar. I don't know, band shirts were kind of that way too, you know, status. You know, wearing certain band shirts wasn't, and I think that's kind of changed, you know, especially once you started being able to buy any t-shirt online that you could ever want. You know, that kind of changed things a little bit, but there was a point in time where, you know, wearing a certain band shirt was a status symbol. One, if it was like a hard shirt to find, but even if people didn't know the band, just the fact that you had a shirt by that band, like you're communicating something to people. It's not just that I really like this and I want to wear it. I'm communicating to you. I'm communicating something to you. This means something. And you'll react to that. Like if you see someone in a band shirt of like something you hate, you'll be like, I should probably avoid that person. Or if you're like me, you see somebody wearing a shirt of a band you love, and you're like, I should probably avoid that person. But still, it's like it communicates something to you. And I got nothing against band shirts. I still wear band shirts on occasion. But there was a point in my life where it was a huge focal point. Like in high school, every day was a band shirt. It's all I wore. Gotta get a new band shirt. And, you know, most of my friends weren't into the same music I was. I'd say maybe there were like one or two people in my entire high school across all grades who liked anything remotely similar to me. So it wasn't really, you know, I didn't wear these band shirts for them so much. It was just sort of this general statement. And because I loved the music at the time, whatever, but it was also this sort of general statement, like, this is me. This is my identity. But yeah, the associations we have, you know, I do wonder if that's where some of this Croc business comes from. If people associate Crocs with a type of person, someone they don't like, or if it truly is just this kind of brainworm that people got. I better hate Crocs. Oh, do Crocs? Because, you know, recently it coming up, it just kind of got me asking questions. Because that's something that you can do at any time. Like, you don't want to be that annoying person who questions everything. But at any given time, if you're wondering what something's all about, you should be like, what is that all about? And I had that moment with Crocs the other day, where I was just like, wait a second. I know tons of people hate on these. But what's the reason again? Where did that come from? You know, why do people do that? You know, because I understand having strange and unique opinions. But with Crocs, it's not anybody's strange and unique opinion. It's something you hear all the time. Because my strange and unique opinions are things I've actually thought about. It's not just something that I heard somebody else say and I'm like, oh, that's good. Did you hear that guy say that Crocs are gay? Again, I wish that's what people said. It's that someone is like, oh, dude, Crocs fucking suck. Why are you wearing Crocs? Dude, she's wearing Crocs. You know, somebody heard that and they were like, that's good. I like that. I'm going to say that too. And it just took off from there. But you can always go, when you hear that, you can always go, wait, why is that again? Hey, why are you saying that again? And you don't even have to ask that out loud. But sometimes I am interested in figuring it out. And next time I hear somebody say something about Crocs, somebody give somebody grief for wearing Crocs, I might ask them, like, what's so bad about them? What makes you notice them so much? What makes you notice them so much? What makes you notice those Crocs? What is it about them that stands out? Like, what makes you hate them? You know, because people who wear them, like I said, they kind of have this built-in defense mechanism with, like, they're just so comfortable, okay? Listen, they're just comfortable. And that's a bit that, you know, I've heard that many times. I'm sure that they must be. They must be incredibly comfortable. But for such a comfortable shoe, they're really not that, bad looking. You know, they're really not that bad looking at all. Again, I don't love them. I'm not saying they're not bad looking. They're wonderful. No, I don't think they're great or anything. I just don't have an opinion one way or another. And for such a comfortable shoe, they're really unobtrusive. They don't really stick out that much. I know they make them in all kinds of different colors. But if they're just a neutral color, I just see no issue. I don't see why those would even be on your radar. But they must be really comfortable. Because people are willing to wear these awful shoes. But I don't know. I mean, people do it with all kinds of things. And I guess just to go back to what I was saying at the beginning, it's made me, a few incidents recently have made me aware of the fact that people really look at other people's feet. I guess what it reminds me of is like noticing that someone's fly is down. Noticing that someone's fly is unzipped. Like, I did notice, I was in the store the other day, and I looked down when I was at the cash register, and I realized that not only was my fly unzipped, but it was, like, pulled open. I can understand noticing that. Like, if someone's fly is not only unzipped, but, like, pulled open, almost a circle opening, you know, I can understand seeing that, because that'll catch your eye. But I've had people tell me, fly's unzipped. Fly's unzipped. I've had people tell me that, and it's barely noticeable. You'd have to really examine it, but people look. People look at your crotch and they're like, fly's unzipped. And unless something is visible, I don't see why that even matters. Like, unless they can see your dickie or a bulge or something, I don't see why it should even matter if your fly's unzipped. But people love to point it out. And they point it out like there's something to be ashamed of, too. Like, oh, your fly's unzipped. And whenever someone said that to me or I noticed that my fly's unzipped, I just blatantly zip it back up. Like, when I looked down at the cash register, I was getting, like, wrung out. And I looked down, and I noticed my fly was really, really unzipped. Not just really unzipped, but really open. And I just, like, reached down and just yanked it up. Because who cares? It's not illegal. It doesn't make me a pervert. It's no different than zipping my pocket up or something. People make a big deal out of it. They're like, hey, just so you know, your fly's unzipped. And then you have to like turn around. You have to like find a corner. Or you have to be really subtle about it and be like, oh, I have to be very careful so that nobody sees me zip it up. And it's like, who gives a fuck? Just zip it up. But people notice it in the first place, which is amazing. It's like noticing shoes to me. Like, people don't just kind of take you in. Because I totally understand, like, taking in someone's entire look. I tend to focus on the head and shoulders. If I'm going to notice something about somebody, it's going to be on their in their head and shoulders. But there's other people, who they're, like, looking everyone up and down. There's people where, like, someone walks in a room and, like, they've looked them up and down and looked closely at their shoes. And thought about them, formed judgments about them. And if you're wearing Crocs, you're going to hear something about it. You're going to get some Croc grief. Going to give you grief about your Crocs. And I had an experience. I had this moment. I must have been in fifth grade. I was on a youth football team, and my mom had bought me this a couple pairs of slip-on shoes. I didn't wear them to school. I didn't wear them to anything that mattered. They pretty much just existed if I wanted to like slip on shoes to go do something outside for a sec, or if what I really remember wearing them for was like going to the store with my mom. If my mom was like, "Oh, hey, I'm going to Fred Meyer. You want to go?" I'd put on these slip on shoes, and they were similar to the type. Like I didn't have the checkerboard ones. You know, mine weren't the ones that are just like a black and white checkerboard print, but they were in that style. And the ones that I had were like all of these squiggly multicolored lines. They were blue, but they had like yellow and red and pink lines just like squiggled. Just a very early 90s sort of design. You know, the sort of thing you could see on someone's workout pants. Just a bunch of like squiggly multicolored lines. Just like a psychedelic looking thing, like just a blast of different colored lines. And I wear those all the time. Like anytime I went to the store with my mom, I'd probably just throw those on. And so my mom and I were at Fred Meyer, and I saw this kid on my football team who I'd describe as kind of like a rich upper class redneck. You know, probably not wealthy, but I don't know. It's the sort of person that I came up with a term for him years ago in like the mid-2000s. I said like they're the type of people who get front row tickets to the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. They live in a McMansion with a little bit of acreage. You know, they have the dad has an expensive truck. That's what these type of people were. And I played football with this kid, but you know, you were on a football team with these kids and like you weren't friends though. Like you didn't talk to each other. You didn't really know each other. Maybe a few of them. But it, you know, there wasn't this brotherhood, especially at that age. And so I saw this kid from my football team at Fred Meyer. And this is a perfect example of like that sort of rich redneck that I'm talking about. He was in like a nice jogging suit. Like one of the ones that was a pullover. Like, they made these jogging suits, track suits, and they didn't zip up, you know, the jacket part didn't zip up. It was like this pullover. It was usually lined. It usually had, you know, some sort of, like, soft lining on the inside, and then, like, the stripes down the sleeves. And so he was wearing this kind of expensive designer track suit. And I was like, and I saw him, and I was like, it's my teammate. And I was like, hey, James. And I remember he looked at me. And before he even said anything, he looked down at my shoes. And he kind of like a cautious, sort of disgusted look came to his face. And he was just like, hey. And then kept walking. And, you know, I'm like 10 years old. And I remember thinking, he just judged my shoes. He just judged my shoes. That redneck. That rich redneck. He's in this designer tracksuit and a pair of Nikes, probably. I didn't look at his shoes. But it was weird. I see my teammate in the wild, which is exciting. It's nice. I go to practice with this kid every day. This is my teammate. We play football together. I say hi to him, and then he, before saying anything, he looks down at my shoes. Because he'd only ever seen me in football gear. You know, at that age, there's no locker rooms or anything. Your mom takes you to football practice, and you're already in your gear. You go to the football game, your mom drops you off at the football game, takes you to the football game on Saturday, Friday, whatever day it is, and you're already in your gear. So the interesting thing about youth football is you never actually see each other in your street clothes. You're only wearing your football gear when you see each other. You only know each other on the field, basically, and the limited amount of time you have during breaks or sidelines, that kind of thing. And so this is the first time I've ever seen this kid in the wild. I didn't know that he wore designer tracksuits. I didn't know that he was a 10-year-old walking around in like designer tracksuits. But he'd never seen me either. And to be fair, you know, those shoes weren't representative of me. My crazy, wild, squiggly slip-ons, they weren't a representation of how I look day to day. But when my mom's just like, hey, we're going to Fred Meyer, you want to go? I'm going to throw those on, maybe with a pair of sweatpants. And you know what? I really like those shoes. My mom got them for me simply because they were like a simple, they were my Crocs. Those shoes were my Crocs. They were an easy, comfortable shoe I could just slip on. Wear to the grocery store with mom. I didn't get dressed up in designer tracksuits to go to the grocery store with mom. I just wore sweatpants and my squiggly shoes. My Crocs. Or my Crocs. But it was just an interesting moment where, like, I knew that he had looked at my shoes and judged me. My teammate. I remember it to this day. Not because it was traumatic. Oh my God. He thinks I'm a fucking fag. My teammate thinks I'm a fucking fag. You know, it's not like that's my... You know, it's not like that. I didn't feel any shame or anything. I just remember it. I just remember that he... The first thing he did is look at my feet and evaluate me based on the shoes I wear to the grocery store. I don't remember anything else about that kid. There's a million teammates I had that I don't even remember. I remember that kid because of that moment. So I don't know, it's been a lesson for me, like, how much people care about that. Yeah, I knew people cared about shoes. I didn't know that it's something they look at right away. Something they notice right away. For some people, it's even the first thing they notice. They'll notice your shoes before they notice your eyes. They'll notice your Crocs before they notice anything else about you. I'm a head and shoulders guy. I don't know what that says. I don't know if that means I'm cerebral. I'm not gonna pretend it makes me better than anybody, but I prefer it. I feel like I have a lot. I feel like I learn a lot more by focusing on the head and shoulders than I do by looking at the shoes.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free.